The corporate game of headquarters chess is put to the test. I'm David Brancaccio. Powerful Group of Seven countries this weekend agreed to make multinational companies pay some tax somewhere, minimum 15%, if national legislatures approve. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins us live with some details. Nancy?
David, companies would have to pay this new global minimum tax no matter where they put their headquarters. The agreement is designed to prevent countries from slashing their international tax rates in a race to the bottom. Matthias Cormann heads the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. He told the BBC the deal would prevent corporations from moving their headquarters to countries with the lowest taxes.
We want to ensure that multinational companies can't structure their affairs such to essentially pay very little or no tax by shifting their profits into relevant low or zero tax jurisdictions.
The agreement also calls for an additional tax on some of the biggest multinational corporations like Amazon and Facebook.
Now, this was a pledge, but it's not a law, Nancy.
Not at all. Now the G7 has to try to sell this deal to the G20 when they meet next month, and that group includes Ireland, which has a very low corporate tax rate. The hope is that even the G20 nations will sign on to the agreement this fall. But even after that, those countries' legislatures would have to approve it. And in the U.S., congressional Republicans say the deal cedes too much authority on taxes to other countries.
Nancy, thank you. Markets. The Dow is down 14 points. The S&P 500 is down 0.1%. So is the NASDAQ down 0.1%. The parent of Google will pay a $270 million fine to French regulators to settle allegations. Google's system that serves ads online is set up to favor Google's own ads. Google is also pledging to change its practices. This is about France, but other countries could use the deal as a roadmap. Unless I'm talking to a flip phone holdout, that communicator of yours is full of apps. And in the case of iPhones or iPads, a lot of those apps are made by non-Apple outsiders. Well, today, the big Apple conference for these developers gets underway, where Apple is pushing a three-syllable word, privacy. Marketplace's Andy Euler reports.
Apple's probably not going to drop a brand new iPhone at this event, so it's a little more under the radar than one of those splashy Apple product reveals. But Scott Kessler at the research firm Third Bridge says one thing that could make headlines, how Apple's software updates deal with user data.
My sense is you're going to see a focus on privacy for multiple reasons. I think questions around how that impacts both users as well as developers.
After all, WWDC is the big event for third-party software developers who build a lot of the stuff that runs on Macs, iPhones, and iPads. Daniel Ives is with Wedbush Securities.
Software, that's the yellow brick road to success for Apple. And that's why WWDC is so important, not necessarily on product innovations, but laying the groundwork for the future growth of Apple.
So, yeah, WWDC is about software, but Ives is guessing there could be some hardware surprises, too. Maybe a couple of new MacBook Pros. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
City of Nashville has spent nearly $50 million on a soccer stadium at its fairgrounds. One goal is to get people from diverse backgrounds to feel welcome and buy tickets, including residents of nearby immigrant communities. Now, there are questions about the diversity of the board that manages the facility. Boards are, after all, centers of power. WPLN's Ambriel Crutchfield reports.
The Nashville Fairgrounds is smack dab between downtown and residential neighborhoods. It's 117 acres, so it can host multiple large events at one time. The city is working on a potential deal with Bristol Motor Speedway to upgrade and operate the old racetrack. The neighborhoods surrounding the fairgrounds are some of the most diverse in the city, with many immigrant communities, including people from Mexico, Honduras, and Kurdistan. And Fair Board Chair Aaron McAnally says the goal is to attract a wider net of local residents.
We want to invite every Nashvillian onto the property. I think it's really important to remember it's a municipal property. It belongs to everyone.
The five-member board mostly makes independent decisions, but currently all its members are all white commissioners. There's one vacant spot. Councilmember Sandra Sepulveda advocated for a Latinx person to fill the seat.
We as a community are going to be more involved in what happens at the fairgrounds than ever before.
The city has more than 50 boards and commissions, and as of February, only 30% of those board members were people of color, even though they make up more than 40% of the city's population. Matt Leininger says nationally, diverse boards do a better job of serving all of a community's residents. He works for the nonprofit group Public Agenda.
It seems impossible to do that if you're not incorporating a wide range of voices in terms of figuring out how race and other differences matter and how you can make things better.
In Nashville, city officials are working to fill the vacant seat. Vice Mayor Jim Shulman says his pick will be, quote, a minority. But he says for sustainable change, the nominating process could use a second look.
What are the laws in the city? What is the process?
The city council is looking at proposals to reform the selection process for a variety of boards. In Nashville, I'm Ambrielle Crutchfield for Marketplace.
And businesses in two of India's largest cities began reopening today, with coronavirus infections declining significantly after the terrible surge this spring. In New Delhi, businesses are reopening with limited hours. In Mumbai, offices, restaurants, even movie theaters can reopen. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.